Okay, ready to dive into something a little unexpected. We're tackling injection molding machines today.
Injection molding machines.
Might not sound glamorous at first,
I was gonna say.
but stick with us. Trust me, this stuff gets really fascinating, especially if you've ever wondered how things are made, from simple stuff to those super complex parts. This is the world to understand. And today, we're gonna help you figure out how to pick the right size machine for your project.
You know what I thought was really interesting when I was looking through the stuff you sent over? They compare picking a machine to like choosing the right cooking pot or even finding a puzzle piece that fits perfectly. It's all about the right tool for the job, right?
It's a fantastic way to think about it. And one of the first things that really jumps out is the material you're working with. Metals, plastics, composites, they all act so differently under all that heat and pressure.
Oh, yeah, totally different. And the machines you need for each are like dramatically different. Like, picture this massive heavy-duty machine for metal molding with all the hydraulics and cooling systems, and then imagine it trying to handle a tiny, delicate plastic part. It just wouldn't work.
Like a blowtorch when you need a soldering iron.
Exactly. Plastics need a whole other level of precision, especially with temperature control.
Oh, and that makes me think of shot size. The sources talk about that being super important too.
Shot size is all about how much molten material gets injected into the mold at once. It's kind of like portion control, actually, like in cooking.
Too much, too little.
Exactly. Too small, you might lose detail or have weak spots in your finished part. Too big, waste of material, risk of defects.
I'm starting to see how the right machine could prevent a lot of headaches, especially when you factor in cost of materials and production time.
Oh, absolutely.
So how do you figure out the right shot size? Is it just a gut feeling, or is there like a formula or something?
Well, luckily there's more to it than just guessing. A good rule of thumb is to aim for a shot size that's about 40 to 80% of the machine's barrel capacity. You can get even more specific by actually calculating the part's volume and factoring in the shrinkage rate of the material.
So there's some science behind it. So you're not just picking a machine based on size alone. You really got to match it to the project's demands.
That's exactly it. And one of the most crucial things to match is clamping force.
Clamping force.
That's the force that keeps the mold tightly shut during injection and cooling. Without enough clamping force, that molten material could leak out. You get deformed parts. Too much force could damage the mold or even the machine.
So it's got to be just right. Like the sources describe it as the handshake that makes sure the mold halves connect perfectly. How do you know how much is enough without going overboard, though?
It's all about finding that sweet spot, you know, not too much, not too little. The clamping force you need depends on a few things, like the size and shape of the part, what material you're using, and the injection pressure. But luckily, there are formulas and software programs that can help calculate that optimal force based on all those factors.
So it's more than just picking a big machine and hoping for the best.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There are different types of clamping mechanisms, too, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, like toggle clamps and hydraulic clamps. Toggle clamps, they're usually faster and more energy efficient, but they have limited clamping force. Hydraulic clamps, on the other hand, they give you more force, but can be a little slower and need more maintenance.
Wow, I'm learning a lot. I'm realizing how little I actually knew about this. The sources don't just focus on the technical side, though, right? They also get into the real-world consequences of picking the wrong size machine.
Oh, yeah, and those consequences can be significant,
Significant?
impacting not just the quality of your product, but your bottom line, even your long-term success.
Okay, let's unpack that. What are the biggest risks?
Well, for starters, if your machine's just way too big for the job, you're just wasting money. You're paying for the energy to run a machine that's operating way below its capacity. That adds up fast.
Like driving a semi truck to pick up a loaf of bread.
Exactly. Gets the job done, but not efficiently at all. But you know what's really interesting?
What's that?
When the machine is too small, that's where things can get disastrous. Imagine trying to mold a large part with a machine that just doesn't have the clamping force to keep the mold closed. You're going to end up with parts that are warped, incomplete, basically unusable.
Sounds like a mismatched machine could lead to a domino effect. Wasted materials, production delays, lots of frustration.
It's a recipe for disaster, for sure. And that's just the beginning.
There's more. Okay, tell me everything.
Let's talk about those technical specs you mentioned before. Things like dimensions, load capacity, power requirements. Those can make or break a project.
Why are dimensions so important?
Well, think about it this way. You might find the perfect machine in terms of clamping force and shot size, but what if it doesn't fit through your facility doors? Or it's too tall for your existing setup?
Yeah. Like buying a couch that doesn't fit through your doorway.
Exactly. And then there's load capacity. That's the maximum weight the machine can handle, both the mold itself and the finished parts.
So if you underestimate that, the machine could, like, buckle under pressure, literally.
It happens. Early in my career, I was on a project where we totally underestimated the load capacity for a big mold. The machine was constantly breaking down. Huge delays cost a fortune in repairs. Learned that lesson the hard way.
That's rough. So dimensions, load capacity, what about power requirements?
Those are crucial. You need to be sure your facility can actually supply the electricity the machine needs to run. Some of these things are real energy hogs.
Yeah, I bet.
Underestimate that, and you're looking at blown fuses, trip breakers, maybe even damage to the machine's electrical components.
So we've got material, shot size, clamping force, and any of these technical specs. It's like solving a really complex puzzle.
You got it. And I bet there are even more pieces we haven't even talked about yet.
Oh, I'm sure.
But before we get too far ahead, maybe we should take a step back and look at the big picture for a second.
Okay, good idea. What's the main takeaway so far?
Picking the right injection molding machine is not a decision to be taken lightly. It takes careful consideration of your needs, your production volume, your budget, and your long-term goals. It's an investment that can make or break your success in manufacturing.
I think a lot of people would just assume bigger is better, right? Like, when it comes to machines, just go for the most powerful one and you're good to go.
Oh, I've seen that mindset before. But honestly, going for the biggest just because you can, that's asking for trouble.
Really?
Not only are you going to pay more for features you don't even need, but your operating costs are going to be higher. And don't forget about maintenance headaches down the line.
So it's not just the sticker price you got to think about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the long-term financial hit.
The sources really emphasize that, you know.
Yeah, they did.
It's easy to get carried away with a new project and overestimate what you actually need. But starting with the right size machine and upgrading later if you need to, that's much more cost effective in the long run.
It's like building a house. You can always add on later, but making it smaller after you've built it is a whole other story.
That's a perfect analogy.
Speaking of the long term, one of the sources mentioned scalability. What does that mean in this context?
Scalability is making sure your equipment can grow with your business. Imagine your product takes off and suddenly you need to double or triple your production.
Whoa, yeah.
If your machine's already maxed out, you're stuck.
Makes sense. So what are the key things to keep in mind for scalability?
First, think about your product line. Are you going to add new products? Will they need different materials, different processes? A machine that can handle different shot sizes, clamping forces, and mold types that gives you more flexibility down the road.
Kind of like planning your wardrobe. You don't just want clothes that fit you now. You want some room to grow, right?
Yeah, I like that. And just like with clothes, invest in quality. Choose a machine from a company with a good reputation, known for reliability. That'll save you headaches later.
Which reminds me, the source has also talked about getting expert advice.
Oh, absolutely. Talking to people who really know injection molding can be so valuable.
Yeah.
They can help you figure out your needs, what your options are, even point you to good suppliers.
It's like having a guide through all the technical jargon.
Exactly. Like you wouldn't have major surgery without talking to a specialist, right?
True.
Choosing the right machine is a big deal. Getting some expert advice can save you from some costly mistakes.
Good advice. We've been talking a lot about the technical stuff, but one thing I found interesting was how the sources emphasize getting different perspectives.
Oh, for sure. Picking a machine isn't a solo mission. You need input from different people, like designers, engineers, production managers, even finance folks.
So it's not just about specs and numbers.
Definitely not. Everyone brings something to the table. Designers know the product details, engineers understand the technical capabilities, and finance can analyze the costs and return on investment.
So getting everyone on the same page is super important.
It's essential. Open communication, collaboration, that's how you avoid problems later on. Imagine the design team makes this amazing product, but the machine you picked can't handle it. What then?
Disaster. Like planning a fancy meal, but you don't have the right ingredients or pots and pans.
Exactly. Get everyone involved in the process from the beginning, make sure everyone's needs and concerns are addressed, and your project is much more likely to be successful.
This has been really eye-opening. We've gone from cooking pots to wardrobes to teams of navigators.
Uh-huh. It's amazing how interconnected everything is, right?
It is. And it seems like we've only just scratched the surface.
Oh, we have. Before we move on, though, there's one thing I want to touch on that I think often gets missed.
What's that?
Understanding industry trends.
Oh, right. And manufacturing's always changing.
Exactly. New materials, new technologies, all the time. What was cutting edge a few years ago might be outdated today. You got to keep up to make good decisions about your equipment.
So you can't just learn the basics. You got to stay ahead of the curve.
That's where those sources you shared come in. They talk about all these advancements in injection molding, new materials, energy-efficient technologies. It's all there.
So how do you actually stay informed about all that?
Engage with industry resources. Attend conferences. Read trade publications. Connect with other people in the field. Make it a habit to keep learning.
It's like any other profession, right? Keep learning. Keep growing.
You got it. Same applies to injection molding. Stay curious. Stay informed. And you'll be able to make sure your equipment and processes are up to the latest standards.
Okay, so we've talked about technical specs, scalability, collaboration, industry trends. We've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
There's one last point in our outline, though, that I'm particularly interested in. Connecting all of this to other areas of life and work.
Ah, yes. That's where things get really interesting. We've been talking about choosing the right tool for the job and injection molding, but this applies to so much more, don't you think?
Absolutely. Cooking, building a website, managing a team, it's all the same principle. Success depends on having the right tools and resources.
You're right. Using the wrong tool can lead to frustration, wasted time, and just bad results, no matter what you're doing.
It's like trying to write a novel on your phone. Technically possible, but not ideal.
Or chopping vegetables with a butter knife. You'll get there eventually, but it'll be a lot harder.
So be mindful of this tool-to-task idea in everything you do. Invest in the right resources, get expert advice when you need it, and make sure your tools are helping you reach your goals.
I love that. That's a great message to take away. And before we wrap up, I just want to highlight one last thing from the sources.
Okay.
They talked about the importance of ongoing learning and exploration in this field.
Oh, yeah. Manufacturing never stands still.
Exactly. There's always more to learn, even if you think you've mastered the basics.
It's a journey.
It is. And that's a great place to leave it for now. Before we officially wrap up, though, let's move on to our final segment, where we'll dig into some more insights from the sources and leave you with something to think about.
You know, it's interesting how we've gone from these really concrete details, like the physical size of a machine, to these bigger concepts, like you said, scalability and keeping up with industry trends.
Yeah, it's like we're zooming out to see the whole picture.
Exactly.
And that's what the sources want us to do. They're saying choosing a machine isn't just about the technical stuff. It's about your overall business goals, your vision for the future.
It makes sense. If you don't know where you're going as a company, how can you pick the tools to get you there?
Exactly. Which brings us back to that idea of multiple perspectives. Remember, the sources really highlighted how important it is to get different people involved in the decision-making process.
Yeah, like having engineers looking at the specs, designers thinking about how the product looks and works, finance watching the budget.
Exactly. Each person brings something important to the table. And when you work together, you can avoid problems down the line. Like a finance manager might think about energy consumption, which an engineer might not even consider. And that could lead you to pick a more energy-efficient model.
It's like having a whole team of navigators, each with their own map and compass, working together to find the best route.
I love that. And speaking of maps and compasses, the sources also talked about understanding the bigger picture of the industry.
You mean those trends we talked about?
Yep. The world of manufacturing is constantly changing. What worked a few years ago might be outdated today. New materials, automation, sustainability, it's a lot to keep track of.
How do you keep up with all that? It seems like a lot.
It is a lot. But there are resources to help. Trade publications, industry conferences, online forums, they could all help you stay up to date.
Like a subscription to What's New in Manufacturing magazine.
Exactly. And don't forget about networking. Talking to other people in the field, attending workshops, going to trade shows, that can give you some really valuable insights and help you stay ahead of the curve.
So it's not just about reading and webinars. It's about actively participating in the industry.
You got it. And the best part, the more you learn, the more you realize how much more there is to discover.
That's the beauty of learning, right? It's a never-ending journey. And speaking of journeys, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into the world of injection molding machines.
It's been quite the exploration. We started with clamping force and shot size, and we ended up talking about scalability, trends, and the importance of different perspectives.
It's amazing how much ground we covered. And what I found really interesting is how many of the things we talked about apply to other areas of life and work, not just manufacturing.
I agree. That idea of choosing the right tool for the job, getting expert advice, staying informed about what's happening in your field, those are all valuable lessons no matter what you do.
So as we wrap up, we want to leave you with one final thought. Take a moment to think about other areas of your life where these principles might apply. Are you using the right tools for the tasks you're facing? Could a different approach, a different skill set, or even a different mindset help you achieve better results?
That's a great question to think about. We encourage you to reflect on those areas where you might benefit from reassessing your tools and approaches.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of injection molding machines.
We hope you learned something new and maybe even got inspired to think differently about the tools you use in your own life.
Remember, learning and growing is a lifelong journey. Keep asking questions, keep exploring, and never stop learning.